Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're talking about learning how to deal with sorrow as part of a bigger discussion we're having about dealing with our emotions. Sorrow is that loss and pain. Sorrow is that sadness and pain that we feel when we lose someone or something that we love. Sorrow is real. Christians tend to fall into one ditch or another. I've had people tell me that they think that if they feel sad over the loss of someone, particularly if that someone has gone to heaven, it's somehow a sign of weakness on their part or a lack of faith. No, you were not meant to be separated from anyone that you love. The fact that they're in heaven, I mean, that's good that they're in heaven, but that does not take away the pain of the loss for you at all in any way. In fact, that's actually the problem. They're in heaven and not here anymore. Sorrow is real and it's normal. Grief is real and it's normal. But you have to learn how to sorrow in hope. That's what we're working on. The other extreme people go to when they experience loss is they feed their grief. They're passive in the face of their grief and they don't move beyond that gut-wrenching pain. But if you'll learn to sorrow in hope, what is sorrow and hope means? It means when you're feeling horrible, the pain and the loss, remember, recall to your mind the reason you have hope. You have hope in the midst of loss. Now, we left off yesterday. It's Friday, so let's jump right into it because we got a lot to say. We're talking about what does this look like in real life. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote to the church he founded in the city of Thessalonica. He had established the church there, preached Jesus to them, told them that Jesus was coming soon. Then he had to leave because severe persecution broke out. Well, they wrote to him concerning questions they had about what happened to loved ones who died before Jesus comes back. See, they're new Christians. They got a lot of questions that they don't have the answers for. And he wrote back, he wrote this letter in part to answer this question. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See, yes, you're truly sorrowful because you've lost someone you love, but you have hope in the midst of that sorrow. Let me keep reading here. He goes on to give them information here about their loved ones, which was designed to give them hope or an expectation of coming good. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He tells them, number one, your loved ones have not ceased to exist. Right now, they're living in a real place called heaven. They're simply separated from their physical body. We're going to be reunited with them. That's our hope. Either when we die and go to heaven with them, or when Jesus returns to this earth, whichever happens first. Because when he comes back to earth, he's going to bring them with him. That's what he's saying here. Those who are asleep in Jesus, they're in heaven with Jesus right now, he will bring with him. See, separation from the body is temporary. When we die, our physical bodies die, we separate from our bodies. Our bodies go into the grave, and we go to be with the Lord. But that's a temporary condition. God did not make us to be disembodied spirits. He made us to live in physical bodies. And at his second coming, in connection with his second coming, resurrection of the dead will take place. All the bodies of his people will be raised from the grave and restored to life. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about it in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed. This mortal body, this death-doomed body will put on immortality. This corruptible body will put on incorruption. we'll get reunited with our resurrection body to live on earth with the Lord forever in a physical, visible kingdom he will establish on this earth. See, what's the point? Paul is telling them this is not a hopeless situation. It's a temporary situation. Now, that doesn't take away the pain of the loss, but it gives you hope in the midst of it to keep you from moving into despair until you feel better. If we turn over to 2 Samuel, we see David had an affair with Bathsheba. You remember that? She was married to another man, Uriah. David put him into the worst part of the battle. He was a soldier in the army so that he'd be killed. So David could have Bathsheba, who was pregnant with his child. She gave birth to a son, and we're told he soon died. The baby died. Now, there's a lot in this we don't have time to talk about. People misuse this instance to say that God doesn't always heal. In fact, he might take your loved one for a higher purpose. But that contradicts what Jesus shows us and tells us about God. Whole lesson for another day, but consider these points briefly before we get back to sorrow. This was a unique situation. As the king of Israel, David was responsible for leading the nation in godliness, and he was also charged with showing the true God to the people groups around them. David failed miserably in his duty as king by this blatant disobedience of God's law, having another man's wife, having sex with her, and then having him killed. Through his actions, his affair with another man's wife and arranging the death of that man, David brought great reproach to Israel and to the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 14 says, "You have provided by this action such an opportunity for the enemies of the Lord to ridicule." See, everybody knew. The nations around knew what David did. In the Hebrew language, there is a verb tense where God is said to do what he, in fact, only allows. When this child got sick, because that's life in a sin-cursed earth, God did not intervene, and he sent the prophet to David to directly connect it to himself and to David's disobedience so all would know, including Israel's enemies, "I am the only true and holy God. I am separate from all evil." David reaped the consequences of his sin. So much we could say about that. Your loved one dying is not you reaping your consequences of your sin, unless you're the king of Israel, who's charged with showing God to the heathen nations around you. Don't have time to go into it in detail. Whole can of worms for another day. But note the point that relates to our discussion. When the child got sick, David sought God desperately to try to change the outcome, the child's death. He fasted, he prayed, but the child died. Now, his servants were afraid to tell him that the kid was dead because they thought he might do something desperate to himself in his grief because he had been so grief-stricken as he sought God for the baby's healing. I mean, sorrow with no hope can drive a person to that point. I have met people who've lost loved ones, and their own testimony is it made them crazy, and they had a hard time recovering. But see, you know what happened? David realized that his son had died because of the way the servants were behaving. So he got up. It says he washed himself, put on lotion, and changed his clothes. And then he went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. In his pain, David acknowledged God. Did he feel like it? Of course not. He's lost a son. Was he happy? Of course not. He's lost a son. But the fact is, God is due worship no matter how we feel or no matter what is going on in our lives. So he acknowledged God. He worshiped him. You can worship God when you're crying because it's not an emotional response to God. It's a choice you make to respond appropriately to God. Now, his servants asked David about his actions. They said, "We thought you'd go nuts. You sought God so desperately, and now that your son has died." But David responded in verse 23, "I can't bring my son back, but I will go to him." Acknowledging God and remembering the hope we have in God kept him from doing something crazy. His servants thought he'd do something crazy, but he had hope. He said, "I can't bring him back, but I will go to be with him." See, what is that? That's hope. This is a temporary loss. David recognized that he and his son would one day be reunited. Let me make a few comments about the loss of a loved one before we move on. When someone you love dies, you experience pain. And the closer the person is to you, the greater the pain. That is normal and natural. You do not have to apologize or feel guilty for real feelings. Grief is a very personal expression. There's no right or wrong way to grieve. If you need to sleep with your loved one's shirt every night, or if you don't want to throw their Kleenex away, that's okay. When my mother died, I couldn't bear to throw away used Kleenex. The closest thing I've had to a child, I've never given birth, but it was a girl that I met when I taught school. I led her to the Lord, and we had a mother-daughter relationship all the way into adulthood. Whole can of worms for another day, but she died unexpectedly at age 35. I couldn't bear to look at pictures of her. Now, some people, that's what they want to do when they're grieving. They want to look at pictures. It was a long time before I could even bear to look at pictures. That's okay. Grief is personal. In the initial period of grief, being told, "Isn't it wonderful your loved one is in heaven?" It really isn't a comfort, because actually that's the problem. They're in heaven. If I could have brought that kid back, I'd done it. I don't care what she wanted. If I could have brought my mother back, I'd have brought her back. I don't care whether she wanted to come back or not. You need to be real careful when you're dealing with somebody who's just lost a loved one, to walk up to them and go, "Isn't it great there in heaven?" Until you've experienced the loss of a loved one, you won't fully appreciate how not comforting that is. We can't go around grief when we lose someone we love. We can only go through it. You don't get over it. You adjust to life without them. You make it through your first year. Those first 365 days of first whatevers without them. There is truth to the saying that time heals all wounds. We're made in such a way that with the passage of time, that intense pain of the loss does go away, and it is replaced by the wistful awareness of the loss and fond memories of your time with them. But if you have an accurate view of reality, as that initial gut-wrenching pain subsides, you'll begin to feel the anticipation of reunion with that person, and even reach the point where you would not bring them back to earth even if you could, because you recognize that the best is ahead for all of us. We are not like those who sorrow with no hope. Even in the face of the most gut-wrenching pain, there's hope for those who know the Lord. We've got a lot more to say about grief and the sorrow that goes with loss. We'll pick it up here next week. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.